Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Gina Jordan. The Kantara Initiative is a nonprofit consortium specializing in identity assurance and personal data. It's been awarded federal research grants worth up to $2.4 million. The money will fund three pilot projects exploring the use of smartphones for digital identity.
In terms of the actual federal funding, DHS funding, they're capped at $800,000 each. That's assuming they go through all three phases.
Colin Wallace, executive director of the Kantara Initiative, says the feds approached Kantara about pursuing the pilots. Funding comes from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate.
There are three phases, initial sort of kind of viability, if you like, and then phase two is a kind of a viability is in terms of sort of applied research to a bench test type thing. Then there's sort of kind of an execution, which is, okay, assuming you've got this thing moving at least on paper and in a lab, it works as a proof of concept.
The pilots will be carried out by Lockstep Technologies, Glue Incorporated, and Exponent. These are the first projects launched by the Kantara Identity and Privacy Incubator Program called KIPI. First out of the gate is a first responder use case called Mobile Device and Attribute Validation, or MDAV. The developer is Lockstep Technologies of Australia.
It's recasting a kind of a standard certificate, digital certificate management, and it recasts it in a different format so that it delivers secure digitally signed attributes on smartphones. So this is a case where there'll be a disaster in one state, a flood or some sort of fire or whatever it might be, and it's an emergency situation. They're bringing out-of-state firefighters, urban rescue, a bunch of other folks. But the problem in these cases is the critical time is wasted while the state that's coordinating the event has to verify the identity and the entitlement or qualifications of these people as they show up. So what happens with MDAV is there's a pre-registration process where effectively these first responders would pre-register onto a system. And part of their smartphone, the centralized certificate system would say, yep, I've identity proofed this person, I've bound them to a digital certificate, I've verified the fact that they're a firefighter or an urban rescue, and I've bound that into the certificate as well. And when they show up at the disaster, the area commander, who's also attached to this federation, if you like, can simply, with their phones between them, can request that the individual basically presents himself with his digital certificates to say who he is and what attributes he has. And so it's immediately done in an instant. So that's the way that Lockstep is doing that, with a mobile phone and with digital certificates.
The second pilot is called Emergency Responder Authentication System for Mobile Users, or ERASMUS. It's being developed by Texas-based Glue Incorporated, and it's similar to the MDAV project.
They are answering the same use case, but they're not doing it with digital certificates. They're doing it with a different combination of technologies. It does require a sort of a federation. There's a lot of talk about OpenID Connect and how great it is, and it is, there's no doubt about it. But one of the things that it doesn't do that well is federation. And that's probably because it's relatively new and some of these advanced use cases haven't been fully baked yet. And so Glue and Kantara has been working on the federation for sort of OpenID Connect folks in a work group called OTTO, the Open Trust Taxonomy for Federation Operators. And the OTTO working group has been working up the scenario, which is giving some rules, some tools, some guidelines around how you set up key management to make this federation work. So from that perspective, it's almost using a different approach. It's using a very lightweight protocol, with the JSON protocol, to replicate a little bit what MDAV and Lockstep Technologies is doing with digital certificates. So it's doing it a slightly different way, and then it's using the Open Badges specification as the trust. So it's actually saying, using the Open Badges system, I've registered myself onto the OTTO Federation, and this might be a thing that a series of states might use. So you might have a particular group of states that might federate together into the OTTO Federation, and basically use open badge protocol to verify the entitlement for these first responders. So it's very similar in its approach, but the thing that DHS wanted to do was take exactly the same use case. And when they saw the Erasmus proposal come through, they said, my, that's interesting. So they're using the same first responder use case, but the technology is completely different. And so what we want to do is put money into both of these and see where they go.
The third project is called Derived Credentials and NFC for Physical Access Control. It's a different use case being developed by Exponent.
This use case is all about the federal agency need and mandated use of PIV cards, personal identity verification cards, to access buildings. The PIV cards can be lost, they can be stolen, the employee has left it at home and arrived with nothing. The other thing is that there's a mandated requirement to make sure that it's not just reading the card, but it's actually reading the certificate behind the card, right? There's actually more thinking, more computing time going on while that happens. So the PIV card thing takes a couple of seconds or more to work. So what Exponent tried to do is say, okay, first of all, can we get the equivalent of the PIV card onto the mobile phone? So if you didn't have your PIV card, you could literally place your phone against the reader and it would do the same job. They've then used a new protocol that NIST had developed for this sort of kind of encrypted communications across near-field communications. And NIST had produced the opacity protocol to allow encrypted communications so that it couldn't be broken into. And that's what Exponent have used to be able to create a really secure, highly secure authentication between the card reader and the mobile phone.
MDAV has already completed phase one with a concept paper and technology design. Then comes beta testing and a field test. This pilot should be completed later this year.
So in the execution phase, it's working with a partner who's effectively allowing them a certificate policy sandbox to actually curate these certificates and distribute them. So it needed a fairly large organization that curated and distributed and supplied certificates. And it's achieved that. I'm not able to name the partner at this point, unfortunately. And basically, it's working with the partner to bring, you know, proof of concept into a pilot. They're going to pilot the whole process by having to recreate the system where these folks would register their identities and their credentials onto this central system, and then have both those emergency responders and the area commanders of some disaster be registered and actually try this in a pilot. The next one off the block is the Derived Credentials for Physical Access Control by Exponent. Now, they've finished their phase one viability, so they've managed to do it on some of their own phones within a lab. So they're about to go into phase two at the moment. They're going to have to work with some suppliers of card readers, probably with a federal agency as well, to be able to do a pilot of this. And that then leaves Erasmus, who's still in its phase one. You know, they had some difficulty with the open badges piece because some of the documentation wasn't that clear and was quite lightweight for what they were trying to do. So there are various aspects of this that they've had to, you know, write code for and various other things to actually get it to work even as a bench test. And they're very confident that they've got that done now. And they should be ready at least to propose a phase two to DHS.
Wallace estimates a 2.5-year time frame from start to completion for each project. Then he hopes to have solutions to take to the commercial market.
It's all about enabling these guys to get their ideas in the lab. You've got to get the right environment. Yes, funding's important, but there's a journey along the way. That's why Kantara provides the program management. And it's the discipline, if you like, of these guys, not only, you know, because they've got to be smart in their technology and they've got to be smart in their business too. So we're actually adding business skill along the way, because the program requires some detail about reporting and and presentation to hundreds of people, and it holistically raises their capability. Not only does it pull their technology through, but it raises their capability to a point that at the end of phase three, they've got the requisite skill set to be able to go it alone in the marketplace.
Kantara is collaborating on the pilots with the Rutgers University Command, Control, and Interoperability Center for Advanced Data Analysis. Thank you to Colin Wallace, Executive Director of the Kantara Initiative. And thank you for joining us for this edition of the Regarding ID podcast.